Father, we're thankful. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness and your grace towards us. Lord, we're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, for the access that we have into your presence, that we can come with confidence, we can come with boldness to your throne, because your throne is a throne of grace and you have invited us to come. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to offer you worship and praise. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you respond to our worship and our praise. Lord, we thank you for the things you have said to us this morning. We thank you for the burdens you've already lifted. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are here and you're continuing to minister among us. And Lord, we ask for your word to come forth. Lord, your word will come forth and bring and cause faith to arise in our hearts. That your word will come forth and cause us to see Christ and Christ glorified. That, Lord, we will be edified by your word. That, Father God, we will be in a different place than we are right now at the end of this message. And Lord, above all, we pray that Jesus will be glorified. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, and amen. So last week we started talking about Lazarus, and realized that we had so much to share that it's thought it best to continue with that this week. I want to pick up reading from John chapter 11, picking up at verse 35 of John chapter 11. John 11:35, as many of you know, is the shortest verse in the Bible. And it says, Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. And that love there is phileo, how much he cared for him, how much he was fond of him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. We'll stop there. So last week, as we shared, many of you know the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Christ, and that comes out in early in the text and again here, and that Lazarus was sick and they sent for Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus got the message, but he decided to stay where he was for an additional 2 days. So that by the time he came to Bethany. It had been 4 days since Lazarus had died and he had been buried. And so last week we talked about the fact that many times when God speaks to us, there is a delay. And the delay doesn't mean that he doesn't care, because he cared for Mary and Martha. More than just a general love, the word used in some of the sentences there is phileo. He was a friend. He spent time with them. He liked to hang out with them. But he chose to delay. And you and I might as well get used to that reality, to that fact that God has a habit of delaying. Somehow he does not realize that we have our own time frame that we'd like to fit him into. He just knows that he's God. He doesn't just think that he's God. He knows that he's God. And so he chooses to function in his own time. And we talked about that last week, that in sending for him, in a sense, that's a way of talking about prayer. You know, we pray and we go to the Lord and we have some real serious circumstance. This guy is deathly ill. This is not just, hey, when you're passing by, can you drop by here? No, this is a serious situation. And he chose to delay. And we said last week that sometimes when he delays, things remain the same. But many times, things get worse. Many times, things go from bad to worse. And that's what happened here in the case of Lazarus. That it went from him being sick to the fact that he, you know, died. And we looked at that pattern in Scripture that, you see, many of the saints of God, people like Abraham, God gave him a promise. But it's not until 25 years later that that word came to pass. And, you know, he tried to help out God, he himself and Sarah and Hagar, and that just made things worse. We see it with Joseph. Joseph got dreams, and he boasted about his dreams, and things got worse for him. He ended up being sold into slavery. And in slavery, things got even worse. He ended up being in prison. Even though God had promised him, we see it, for example, with King David being anointed by Samuel as a young man, perhaps about age 16, he's anointed, you're going to be king. And for a while, things seem okay, and then the ladies start to sing that Saul has slain his 1,000 and David is 10,000, and that just stuck in the craw of Saul, and he just started to extremely hate David and to chase David, and so things got worse for David. He had to be running and hiding in caves and moving to live amongst the Philistines. And while there, he tried to associate with the Philistines, and the enemy attacked Ziklag and took away his wife and children. It just went from bad to worse. And you're wondering, where is God, Lord? This is your word. Where are you in the midst of all of this? For David, you know, the scripture says he became king. He was anointed king for Judah when he was 30. I think that's 1 Samuel chapter 5, somewhere there. He was anointed king when he was 30. So you're looking at least 14 years before that came to pass. And even then, it was just part of Israel for which he was king. It took another 7.5 years before he was king of all Israel. So you're looking at perhaps, you know, 20-something years before the word came to pass. We see it with Israel going into exile in Jeremiah 29. And in fact, I think I want to read that passage. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. It's what the Lord says. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for your calamity. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me, upon me, and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, etc. So he's telling them, the scripture that many of you love, that I love, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you hope on the future. Plans, good plans. But behold, they're not going to start come to pass for another 70 years. You're going to end up in exile. God has this habit. Sometimes his words are to keep us during the difficult times. And so through that, you and I go through the battlefield of the mind. As the enemy comes and attacks us with all sort of thoughts and all sort of things. When we don't see the promises being fulfilled, but we see things getting worse. And the promise could be anything. It could be your health. It could be for an opportunity. It could be for a ministry. It could be for some issues being reconciled in your families. It could be anything. But for whatever reason, God delays and things just get worse. And here comes the enemy with all of his negative thoughts. I don't know about you, but one of the reasons why I hate being sick is along with the sickness comes the mental battle. And the mental battle for me is worse than the physical battle. Because sometimes you have the pain, I can take a Tylenol or something and the pain will subside, but the devil is going to come and say, you see that pain? You know, it could be this, it could be that, it could be X, Y, and Z, and it's always something worse. And we have to learn to battle through the battlefield of the mind. And then sometimes we are tempted to help out the Lord and we just complicate things and make things worse. Then we talk about some of the reasons why God delays. Why he thinks it's good for him to delay. And we mentioned that sometimes he wants to deal with some issues in our own personality, in our own character. That in that time of delay, some things come to the surface and we realize, oh, I need to deal with this, I need to deal with that. Sometimes the issue are things like pride or fear. The fear of all sort of stuff and that it's going to get worse and worse and that the enemy always takes us to the worst possible scenario. Sometimes there are some other issues that God wants to look at. One of the scriptures I was looking at this week is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at verse 2. You know, Israel got delivered out of slavery and they ended up being in the wilderness for 40 years. They were being delivered and the word to them was, I'm taking you to the promised land. And here comes the delay in the wilderness. And the Lord explains to them, just as they're about to enter in the promised land, why, part of the reason why there was this delay is more than just that the 10 spies didn't have faith. That was part of it, but it was much more than that. So it says in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna with which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That word there, he'll make you understand in the Hebrew, is actually yada, which means to know through experience. So he wanted them to know through experience that man doesn't live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then he goes and says, your clothing did not wear out, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. So for Israel then, and many times for you and for me, God is trying to teach us something about himself. In the midst of this delay, some things in our own heart that we think are priority, and God's like, no, those are not priority. Those things you need to get rid of. You need to realize that you live, I live, by the word, the proceeding word of God. That's what kept them through those 40 years. That's how manna came. That's how they were able to live in health, because of the proceeding word of God. And many times you and I, we get caught up saying, well, Lord, where is the promised land? And Lord is trying to say, don't you see what I'm doing in your life right here, right now? Can't you see, can't you grasp what I'm trying to show you about who I am right here, right now? And so many times he delays because he's trying to show us some stuff about our own character and about who he really is. We mentioned also that he tries to test our faithfulness. It says it here in Deuteronomy, to see if you will obey my commands. See if you will be faithful. And last week we talked about the fact that with Abraham, for example, God said, through Sarah you're going to have a child. But here comes Abimelech. And Abimelech takes Sarah for himself, and God judges Abimelech and his household. And God says to Abimelech, this man is a prophet. He will pray for you and you'll be healed. And so Abimelech comes to Abraham, and Abraham prays for him, and the man gets healed and his family and have children. And here is Abraham still saying, Lord, what about me? What about Sarah? And so oftentimes as we wait, God will put us in places to minister to people who are going through some of the same things that you and I are waiting for. And God is trying to see, Joe Campbell, will you be faithful? Will you step out and help this person, even though you are still waiting on the answer to your prayer and your circumstance? Or will you shrink back and say, Lord, until I see this come through, I'm not going to pray for anybody else about this. I'm not going to talk to anybody else about this because, Lord, I don't see it in my life. But do you see it in the Word of God? You may still be hurting your back, but here comes somebody who is sick with the same back pain. You can pray and they get healed, even while you still believe in God for your own healing. How many understand how God functions? The same thing happened to Joseph. Joseph got his dream. Here he is in prison, and he's probably wondering, Lord, when will this? I don't even see how this dream is going to come to pass. How is this going to come to pass? Here I am, the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, here in Egypt, in jail. But yet still, here comes a butler. Here comes a baker. And they have dreams. And Joseph is interpreting their dreams. And they come to pass. And here he stands. Lord, what about me? Many of us would have said, Lord, I'm not interpreting any more dream until my come to pass. That's the attitude many of us tend to have because we don't realize that God is interested in more than just me. Let me repeat that. It might sound like revelation, but God's interested in more than just me. God has people all around that he wants me to reach out to so that they can experience his glory and my faith can be built. I can say, Lord, if you did it for them, I'm going to continue to believe you for me. Sometimes he wants us to grow in patience. Sometimes he just wants to draw us to himself, as he did with Mary and Martha. He came there, and he was moved by what he saw, and he wept with them. They experienced his comfort. They experienced his presence, even though he knew what he was about to do. But he was, as it were, legitimizing what they were going through. He was saying, it's all right, I understand. I am touched too, to realize that he has gone through all of this suffering, to see all the pain that you are all going through. And it's an encouragement to me to know that God weeps with me. God weeps with you when you go through your stuff. He doesn't stand back. Christ didn't say to her, why are you crying? I'm going to deal with it soon. Just give me a few moments. He didn't have that type of attitude. His attitude was, I understand what you're going through. I know what it is to lose a loved one. He's my friend too. That the people looking on said, look at how much he loved him. My friends, if you're going through grief right now, you need to realize that the Lord cries with you. The Lord weeps with you. You lose something, some thief breaks in and steals your stuff. God still weeps with you and goes through all of the emotions you go through. He's there beside you. That's the type of God that we serve. He doesn't stand far back and say, look at him being all emotional. We have a God who understands us. He gave us these emotions. And he comes and he stands beside us as we go through our stuff. Sometimes he comes because he delays because he wants to build our faith, to believe him for what is going to come next. And we mentioned that sometimes he has his own timing for things. He has some greater plans. And this was what was the case here with Lazarus. He said from the beginning, this is for the glory of God. He delayed because he realized when the things got worse and when God came through, God would get more glory out of it. And if you're like me, I'm like, Lord, I really don't want to wait until you get more glory. What about just now? But because he's God and he wants to be glorified and he wants to draw people to himself, he allows things to get worse. That's what happened to them in the Exodus, where they're crying out for years. That's what happened to them. They were supposed to go into the promised land and end up in the wilderness. That's what happened with Joseph. He had greater plans. And eventually Joseph came to see the greater plans and could say to his brothers, you know, you meant to do evil to me, but you know what? God had something bigger. God was sending me ahead to prepare something to save your life and the lives of many. But Joseph could only see that, my friends, in hindsight. Many times you and I can only see stuff in hindsight. But God sometimes delays because he wants to bring people to faith in Christ as he did in this situation. And to allow there to be a greater testimony. A greater testimony of his intervention, a greater testimony of his glory. Because up until that time he had raised people from the dead, but none had been dead for 4 days. None had reached a stage where when they rolled away that stone, there was a stench coming out. This was a miracle of our miracles. That even the Jews who came, it says, they put their faith and their confidence in Christ. A greater testimony and to give a greater revelation of who he really is. If God had cut things short for them in the wilderness, they wouldn't have really understood who God is. What it is to live by the proceeding word of God. They'd have come into the promised land and not realize that, listen, it is God who has given you this promised land. And it goes on there in Deuteronomy to say, to give you the power even to make wealth. So sometimes when you're there in your financial crisis and you're wondering, why is God taking so long? God is trying to get you and me to the place where we have faith, believe in God. Say, Lord, I thank you. And you know what? Whatever I have really comes from you. So that when you come into the time of plenty, you don't fool yourself. I don't fool myself into believing I've come into this because I've worked so hard. How many of you know many people work hard and don't come into stuff? My parents work hard and they didn't have much. It's the grace of Almighty God. You can work hard and one little illness take away all of your wealth. It's the goodness and mercy of Almighty God. And you and I should be the foremost to shout about the goodness of God and to declare how good and how great our God is. So when God intervenes, we see things differently. You know, with Martha, when God intervened, you realize that her confession and her faith did not really line up. I'm looking at John chapter 11 and verse 22. In verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's her faith. Lord, if you are here, I know without a shadow of a doubt that my brother would not have died. But then she goes on to say, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. What a statement of confidence. That's her confession. Lord, even now I know, Lord, that whatever you ask of God, he will give to you. But her faith wasn't really there. When he said to her, let them roll away the stone, she's like, Lord, he's been dead 4 days now. There's a stench coming out. Her faith was not at the place to believe that Jesus was going to raise this man from the dead. And many times that's me. That I might declare things, by his stripes, Lord, I'm healed. But Lord, I'm still feeling all the pain. And Lord, this thing is going to get worse. You know, Jesus didn't rebuke her when she said that. Because he understood where she was at and what she was going through. And so you and I need to realize that the type of God that we serve, that many times, in fact, a lot of the things that you and I confess, we struggle really to actually believe. But that's all right. The old timers talk about confessing things unto faith, different from the confession of faith. In other words, you confess what the Bible says because you know the Bible is true. It's better to confess what the Bible says than to confess things that make the devil look good. I'd rather confess what the Word of God says. So you have that wayward child, he's coming back. But Lord, things look bleak. Lord, he's coming back. Lord, I believe you that he's coming back. Keep confessing the truth of God's Word. God is not going to look at you, you know, the devil comes along, you know what the devil says? You look a hypocrite to you. You don't really believe that. They say, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what the Word of God says. And God's Word is true. Whether I believe it or not, his Word is true. Jesus declared to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And she's putting that into the future. And he's like saying, you don't understand Martha. You don't understand Mary. Right here, right now, I am the resurrection. So when God intervenes, my friend, there's no condemnation. He doesn't come and say, oh, you again. No, there's no condemnation. And oftentimes, my friend, what seems to be too late for me and for you is his right timing. His right timing. When you and I turn our back and say, Lord, I don't see how this is going to work. This is too late. That's the time when he likes to show up on the spot. That's a time when he likes to turn things around. And he does, oftentimes in those circumstances, more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. Mary and Martha, they could never have imagined this was what he was going to do. It was not part of their understanding of who he was. And it's the same thing for you and I, because you and I, we struggle. But I thank God that Paul said it in Ephesians, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or imagine. I thank you, Lord, that my little box doesn't limit you. How many realize that? I have my little box here. And I thank God that that doesn't limit him from doing what he wants to do to glorify his name and glorify himself. But then he calls Lazarus by name. The Bible says he raised his voice and made a loud call. Lazarus, come forth. And it tells me that the Lord knows you and he knows me by name and he speaks to our situation by name. And by the way, that's part of the reason when I'm praying for people, if I'm praying for someone who's lost, if I'm praying for someone who has turned their back on the Lord, I'm calling them by name. Because when Jesus spoke here, my friends, his word was not just limited to the natural realm, because Lazarus' spirit had already left. His spirit might have been in Abraham's bosom. But when Jesus called Lazarus, his word resonated through the spiritual dimension and went straight to wherever Lazarus was. And his spirit and his soul heard his name being called. Lazarus, come forth. This power when God speaks his word. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Ezekiel speaking to the dry bones. To speak forth God's word. Whatever you're praying for, whatever you believe in God for, to keep on declaring it. Isaiah 55 says, my word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that for which I sent it. Keep on speaking it. It's not just a natural realm. There's a spiritual dimension that our words go right into. Call that young woman by name. Call that young man by name. You understand what I'm saying? Who's over there? Miss Melissa. When I say, Isaac, come forth, I'm speaking into the spiritual dimension. That the word of God would impact him in the spiritual dimension. How many realize what I'm saying?
I'm not just speaking empty words. I'm declaring the word of Almighty God. I'm declaring the heart of Almighty God. And not even the gates of hell, no devil can prevent the word of God from accomplishing that for which the word of God has been sent forth to accomplish. Keep on speaking it. Don't let the devil tell us, well, nothing is going to change. Keep on declaring it. And because Christ said him to come forth, miracles are put here, took place. Miracles. Lazarus was risen from the dead, rose from the dead. Well, let me hasten. Because out of that resurrection, there were lots of testimonies. But I put here in my notes that the devil does not like testimonies. In John 11 and verse 46, it says, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They did not like the testimonies. And in chapter 12, it says that they decided that they're going to have to kill Lazarus again. They didn't like the testimonies because, my friends, how many of you know, the devil does not like us to testify about the goodness of Almighty God. I can't tell you how many times the devil will come and say, if you testify about that healing, you might get sick again. He wants us to keep our mouth shut because he realizes if we testify, God gets the glory and the faith of people are built up and they're going to believe God for more. Instead, he comes and says, Joe Campbell, if you testify, what happens if you get sick again? Well, if I get sick again, he'll heal me again. And so we see here in the story of Lazarus that the people were not afraid to testify and to share about what they had seen, what they had experienced. And I like what happened in chapter 12 of John. They came back to Mary and Martha's house. And verse 3 says, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. In other words, she went into what I call extravagant worship. My friends, if you have been waiting on God and God has come through, he deserves extravagant worship. He deserves for us to give him our all. Don't be concerned about those who don't have the testimony, so they don't know how to worship. If you have a testimony, if you have a circumstance, if you can look at your life and you can see time and time again when God broke through, then my friends, you should be the first one to jump up and say, glory to God. He has done great things. He healed my mind. He saved me just in time and to testify and not to be ashamed of what God has done. Because trust me, just like right here, from amongst the 12, those who are close to Jesus, here comes a criticism. Here comes somebody being judgmental. Oh, she's wasting that. That could have been sold and given to the poor. Can I tell you, my friends? You will always find somebody ready to criticize you when you worship. But listen, they didn't heal you. They didn't save you. They didn't do anything to help you. It is he who saved you. So don't worry. There will always be critics. So I made up my mind a long time ago. He has done so much for me. Look at your life. We sing it. Look at your life from the moment you wake up. All of your life, he has been good to you. If you get excited when somebody gives you a Christmas gift, how much more when God has done so much for you and for me? Let's talk a little bit about the grave wrappings because time is going. So Lazarus was came forth, but the Bible says that he came forth and his hands were wrapped up, his feet were wrapped up, his face, his head was wrapped up. I'm trying to picture it. How did he even get out of that cave? He couldn't walk, his feet are tied together. So he must be jumping or something like that to get out. And many times that's what happened to some of us. God has come through, but we're still wrapped up and tied up. Listen, I was meditating on this all of this week, asking myself the question, why did John tell us all of this detail? I don't believe anything in the Bible is there by accident or by chance. So why is he telling me that the man came out with his head tied up? John 11:44. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings. His face was wrapped around with a cloth. Why is he telling me all of this? Because, my friends, there's some stuff that sometimes keep us back, keep us from fulfilling what God has for us. Even though God is at work, there are some things keeping us back. The first four things I have there, the first four are things that come through the mind. The enemy of our minds wrapped up, the whole grave clothes, since he was already even decaying, doesn't smell good. We have this unrenewed mind that Paul says, you and I have to renew our mind. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind so we might know the will of God. Yes, God has taught you. Yes, God has intervened in your life, but we're still being held back by this unrenewed mind. And I need to be able to pull it off. And I sometimes need people to pull off that unrenewed mind, that ungodly way of thinking, that pessimistic way of thinking. So that I can fulfill what God has in store for me and for you. Sometimes your own loved ones, they might be missaved, but they have this unrenewed mind, and therefore it creates problems. That's why you have so many problems in relationship. Their minds are unrenewed. Hello? And so some more work needs to be done so the minds of people can be set free. Sometimes they have strongholds. Paul talked about strongholds in Corinthians. To pull down the strongholds and every thought that exhausts itself against the knowledge of Christ and bring those things into obedience. Ways of thinking, philosophies of the world that have bombarded our minds and we exalt them above the knowledge of Christ. It can be anything. I mean, right now we have all sort of stuff that we're struggling in our society. This whole idea of people being transgender idea. And we're exalting that above the knowledge of Christ and what the Word of God says and what God is able to do as if, well, God can't help this one, therefore they should be free to have their gender surgery. Exalting those things above who Christ really is. Some of those things have to be pulled down, my friends. I put here pessimism and negative mindset and low self-esteem. It's amazing that God can do so much in our life and we're still pessimistic. You have a beautiful day with sun out there and all we can think of, well, it might start to rain tomorrow. Oh, next week it's going to be cold. My friends, just enjoy what is going on right here, right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's going to take care of that. Just enjoy the goodness of God. Enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. How many of you know that faith is not pessimistic? You cannot be a person of faith and be pessimistic. The two things are actually contrary to each other. Faith comes out of optimism, believe in God. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope is optimistic. And then faith comes and gives you the substance. You have things like pride, thinking more of ourselves than we ought to. Get puffed up in our head. Knowledge puffs up, but love is what edifies. And false humility. Those are some wrappings around our minds that need to be pulled down. A lot of times people, if they would just humble themselves, relationship issues would be solved. How many know that? But we're so full of pride and arrogance. Lord, help us to unwrap these things from off our minds. And I believe if his hands and his feet were wrapped up, I think his entire body was wrapped up. I have the picture in my mind. I don't know if it's true, but I have the picture of how they'd wrap up these Egyptian mummies. So I'm thinking his body was wrapped up, which means his chest was wrapped up. And so in my notes, I see it referring to things like soul ties. People come out of situation, but they're still tied up. And some of those soul ties need to be broken so they can walk in freedom. Some of your loved ones, when the Lord brings them back because they're involved in all sort of relationship and affairs, some of those things need to be broken so they can run with the Lord. Paul says to come out from among them and be separate. Some of those things need to be severed. Hebrews 12 says we should lay aside every hindrance and everything that so easily beset us so we can run the race. Pull off those wrappings, my friends. The hurts and the wounds that we have had from the past hold us back. Prevent us from fulfilling our destiny and our call in the Lord. It doesn't mean you weren't hurt. Yes, you were hurt, but there's a Spirit of God who comes to bring healing. It doesn't mean you weren't abandoned and rejected, but there's a God who comes now to accept you. I want to pour the oil of his presence to bring healing. Paul says in the Philippians to leave all of those things behind and to stretch forward in the Lord, to go after Christ. Some of the people or loved ones, because they were addicted to all sort of stuff before they came to Christ, those addictions, my friends, need to be broken. Or else we'll call them back. Some of those relationships need to be severed, or else they'll be drawn right back. It's not that God didn't do a work and raise them. But there are some wrappings that need to be destroyed. Some of us get resurrected, but we have a critical and judgmental spirit. And it prevents us from going forward and fulfilling God's will and God's purposes. I have my notes here, unforgiveness that ties us back to the past. But you don't understand, Pastor Joe, what I've been through. The truth is I don't, but he does. And he's the one who says that if we don't forgive, he's going to hand us over to the tormentors. Some of the things that hold us back, our feet are tied, wrapped up. We can't go forward as the way God wants us to go forward. Some of these things need to be cut off. Paul said to Timothy, for example, in 2 Timothy, that God has not given you a spirit of fear. I mean, Timothy has been discipled by the Apostle Paul. I mean, I don't want to be discipled by Paul too. So having sat with Paul and ministered with Paul, he was still bound by fear. And that fear, my friends, will paralyze you and paralyze us, prevent us from going forward. When God says, speak to this one, but Lord, I'm so scared. What if I say the wrong thing? Pull off those grave wrappings, my friends. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of what? A love and of power and of a sound mind. So if you want to be effective in this new resurrection life, we've got to break off all of those grave clothes. All of the things from the past. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Some of us, what hold us back is a lack of resources. God has raised you and said, okay, go forward now. But we're saying, Lord, I don't have all the resources. Or hands are tied. I don't have all the finances, Lord. I can't do it. And the Lord is like, whatever little you have, just give it to me. All you have, five loaves and two fish, just give it to me and I'll do the rest. But Lord.
God has called us out in a very powerful way by His Spirit. But you and I need to realize He has called us to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to keep our eyes focused upon the Lord. We've got to pull off the things that hinder us. Just move, as the prophetic word came earlier, in simple obedience. Come unto Him so He can take off the yokes of us. Stop trying to prove to the Lord that you can do it by yourself. You can't. You've got to wait upon Him, upon His strength and His enabling to walk through the doors that He opens for us. It's hard to go to heaven big if your feet are tied. When it says his face being wrapped up, it's not just his face, my friends. His face, his ears, his mouth. Can't even speak. Sometimes God will loose our hands so we can try and pull off some other stuff. So we can with confidence declare the goodness of God. So people can indeed see that truly you are resurrected from the dead, that you are a new person in Christ. Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us stand. There are two big differences between the resurrection of Lazarus and the resurrection of Christ. The first obvious one was that Lazarus would die again and Christ would never die again. So the completely different resurrection, different body, etc. But when Christ was raised, the grave clothes were put to the side. They were folded up and put to the side. With Lazarus, Christ said to the people around, loose him. Loose him so he can fulfill my purpose and my destiny for his life. Pull off all of that stuff off of him. Pull off all of that wrapping around his head so his eyes can be open to be able to see. Paul said to the Ephesians, as he was praying for them, pray that you might get a spirit, the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Because up until now, you're not seeing straight yet. Oh yeah, you're raised, but you're not seeing straight yet. You need to have the eyes of your heart enlightened. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Christ. We need to pull off the grave clothes, my friends. We need to loose one another. We need to loose ourselves so we can fulfill His purpose and His destiny. Don't allow any heartache and pain to be in your heart, preventing you from reaching the people that you need to reach. All you can remember is the bad that has been done when God is saying, look at the good that I'm doing. Thank God Joseph didn't sit there remembering all the stuff that his brothers did and why he ended up in prison and all these type of things. Thank God he put those things behind him so now you could be used by Almighty God. What about you? What about me? Let's just bow our heads. My brother, you have something to share? Let's just bow our heads.
you are here this morning and you have walked away from the Lord, you're not walking with the Lord as you should. And you say, Pastor Joe, will you pray with me? I want to recommit myself to the Lord this morning. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house that need to recommit themselves? And as you're standing, ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, will you show me where there might be grave clothes that I need to pull off myself this morning? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. What are the things holding you back? Whatever is holding you back is a grave clothes. Because Christ said, loose him and let him go. Not let him stay. Let him go. Let him be released. Let him be free. So what are the things holding you back? Pull off all of those things and throw them to the ground. Determined to renew your mind according to God's word. Determined to break off every soul tie that would hinder you. Break off every form of addiction that they may be or have been, or else it will call your name and draw you back. Ask the Lord to help you to see yourself as he sees you. Open your eyes so you might see. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Father, this morning we thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, O God, for your word and for your truth. Lord, you have said in your word that we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. Lord, I pray for every person in this building and those who are participating online that, Father God, your truth might come into our lives. Your truth might come into our hearts. As your truth this morning, O God, might set us free. As your truth, O God, would cause every grave wrapping to fall from our faces, fall from off our bodies, fall from off our hands, fall from off our feet. Your truth, mighty God, is what we need. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you, O God, for bringing your word to us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to teach us. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord God, to enlighten our hearts. The eyes of our hearts, O God, will be enlightened to see and to understand who we are in Christ and what you have done for us. That, Lord, no longer would we limit you, O God, because of the grave clothes that we have on. But, Father, we might be able to run. We might be able to run with the zeal of the Almighty God. We might be able to run with the anointing of Almighty God. That our mouths, O God, will be anointed to speak your word. That, Lord, as Paul prayed, O God, utterance will be given to us to declare your good news to people as we encounter them. Lord, our eyes might be opened, O God, to see if the spiritual conditions in which people find themselves, so that, Lord, we might be able to give them a message of hope in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, you would anoint our hands, O God, and as we would lay hands on the sick, they would be healed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we see ourselves as you see us, as your extension in the earth, as your ambassadors in the earth, as those anointed by you in the earth. Lord, we pray these things, mighty God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, and amen. I don't just sit for a while.
Good morning. If you all allow me, I've got two. The first one, it goes along with what Joe's message is today, I hope. Let me preface this real quick. I've never believed myself to be worthy of God's love. A lot of it is because of my relationship with my earthly father. But I have a wife who encourages me I have a church family who encourages me. And in my job, I run into a lot of bad. Some of them don't realize that when they're in the cage in handcuffs, I'm praying for them. Some of them are open to it, so I openly pray for them. I was blessed the other day. We tried to go to lunch as a squad. A lady approached me, and I didn't recognize her. Nicely dressed. She reminded me 4.5 years ago I arrested her. She was addicted to drugs, down. I was having a hard time remembering who she was. And I remembered when I arrested her, she smelled like Lazarus. She looked like Lazarus. But she came and told me, she said, "You prayed for me in the back of your patrol truck. And you told me that you believed in me and you expected better of me." She wanted to tell me that she's been clean since that arrest and that she was moving up towards the lake because she had been promoted by the Sonic Corporation, the restaurants, to the general manager of all the Sonics at the lake, and she was now going to be making a six-figure income. I don't say this for me, but God used me and I was obedient. It's those little praises and things that I get to see every once in a while, especially when I start getting wore down because of the job. You're all worthy. I'm worthy. So let God use you, because you never know whose life He's going to let you be the vessel to help change. That was first. Can you play something upbeat? This one's going to be good. Last year, I came and asked all of you guys to pray for a young child, probably the worst case this county's ever seen of torture and child abuse. Many of you probably heard that the man who did that got sentenced to 45 years consecutively, not concurrently. So that means he'll have to do 15, start the 15, do the last 15. Praise God. I got to see that little boy in court. My captain called me. It's during deer season, man. I'm getting ready to head out to the deer blind. Matter of fact, I'm in the field. She texts me. Says, "Hey, he's going to be at the courthouse. You can ask my wife." I come running home, and I got out of the camo and got dressed like this, and I ran to the courthouse. I got to see that little boy. He's in a wheelchair. He's 4 now. He jumped up. And they did have to amputate part of his right leg. And he said, he recognized me as soon as I walked in that room. He said, "Watch me walk on my toy leg." And he was so excited. Didn't even look like the same child I found laying in that room. And he had the biggest smile on his face. He was able to take 4 steps. And that was where he was at in his therapy. He's put weight back on. Oh, gosh, he looks so amazing. He's been placed with family who love him and his sisters. The 2 sisters come running up and give me a hug. I only met one that day when I found that little boy. And they said, "Thanks for saving us." When you're open to letting God use you, awesome things happen. And I wanted to share that with you because I know you all were in prayer for that little boy. He's going to be amazing. And I pray that God uses what he went through for his testimony. So, thank you all.
Let's just stand and rejoice in those testimonies. Rejoice in the goodness of God. Be encouraged. You never know whose life you might be touching or changing. Just be open and do what God says, but let's just rejoice.
Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything, let everything, Let everything praise the Lord. Let everything praise the Lord. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you let praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your hands and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. There's still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise this morning.
Amen. God is still working, still saving, still transforming. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we rejoice in you this morning, Lord, even as we have heard those testimonies. And Lord, we know that there are many more testimonies even amongst us, oh God, of the fact that you're still working, you're still moving. Lord, even in the midst of us waiting for your promises to be fulfilled, Lord, you're still doing miracles. And so, Lord, we bless you and we exalt you this day, oh God. And Father, we ask you to continue to anoint us and continue to give us the boldness, oh God, to declare your goodness, the boldness, oh God, to offer a prayer, the boldness, oh God, to offer a hand of comfort, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your own way in us and through us, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, and amen.